fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're recapping Sunday's action.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Heath, and Chris.
Well, did you make the playoffs? Let's talk about it here on Fantasy Football Today, the Monday edition. I'm Adam Azer with Heath Cummings. Chris Towers suspended for the first 5 minutes for dress code violation. So, you know, he'll be back. Chris, Heath is going to throw an interception on the first minute of the show.
That sounds about right.
I would never throw an interception. I just hand it off.
Chris is back. What's up, Chris?
Hey. You know I can't keep quiet.
Yeah, it's true. It's
even
true.
Even for the sake of a bit.
I'm excited about today's show. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be positive. I've got a 13.5-point lead on Heath in the two-quarterback league, and he has the Jets DST. Chris, who do you think will win?
I think you will win.
Yeah. And by comparison, the Cowboys, my DST, scored 9 fantasy points this week, so I feel good about it.
Which was one of the Cowboys' best performances of this year, to be fair.
Oh, yeah. That's it's not like I've been playing them all year. That's called streaming, Heath. Streaming.
Ooh, yeah. Tell me more.
Meanwhile, in the June magazine draft, big game between me and Chris Towers, I am up by 27. And
yeah.
Chris, he's got Moncrief and Vinatieri. So I think I'm going to beat both your butts.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, that's exciting.
I've had some teams peaking at the wrong time.
Don't worry, we're both making the playoffs, Chris. It's a meaningless game.
I think the June magazine draft is like one of only two leagues I'm in that like there is no reward for winning that league, right?
Pride, like the most pride.
We draft the team.
The biggest reward.
We draft the team in June and we play for nothing.
That's right.
Okay.
We play for bragging rights like a lot of our leagues. But anyway.
No one has ever bragged over winning the June magazine draft.
I'm going to if I win it. So we welcome you to the show. I'm done bragging now. It was a big week for me. I know I had a lot on the line and I'm hoping some things break my way tonight. We have a new segment coming up called Fluke or Puke. Are you excited for Fluke or Puke, guys?
This might be a new low.
Why?
Fluke or Puke?
Yeah, it's pretty low, I guess. I'm going to give you a player who struggled yesterday, and you're going to tell me if it was just a fluke or if it makes you want to puke.
But if that fluke cost you a spot in the playoffs, it's going to make you want to puke either way.
All right, we'll work on it. We'll fine-tune it before we get there. We'll do the Week 13 leaders. We'll talk about the Patriots running backs, the Broncos running backs, as Capri Bibbs has a high ankle sprain, Jay Ajayi, Kelvin Benjamin, etc., but a lot of good, too, with Joe Flacco calling out his offensive coordinator a little bit a few days earlier and having a huge game yesterday, and we got winners and losers. In fact, I want to start with the winners and losers. Heath has a winner, Chris has a winner, I have a winner, and then we'll do losers. Heath, let's start with your Week 13 winner. Go!
I'm going to say Terrence West, as much as it pains me to say Terrence West, because I really thought, I mean, you could see the trend of the touches and the snaps and where it was moving, and everyone could see that Kenneth Dixon was more talented than Terrence West. And then West got a lot more touches early in this game. He got more touches throughout the game. Dixon really got more involved later in the game. Only got 6 carries. West scored 2 touchdowns. Talk about puke.
It feels more like Dixon being a loser than a winner.
West just held on to his job.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But it's not a great job. I mean, he hasn't had more than like 13 carries in his last 3 games. He's had 8, 13, and 10. So he might be a winner, Terrence West. He was 30% started this week. Do you feel comfortable starting him going forward at New England upcoming on Monday night in Week 14?
I don't feel comfortable with it, but you may not have a choice.
Yeah, I do think it's more about Kenneth Dixon losing there. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, either way.
Well, I'm glad. You guys decide who the winners and the losers are.
No, it's a valid point. It's just a matter of interpretation.
We have a discussion.
That's not a discussion. That's just you telling me I'm wrong.
No, we didn't say you were wrong, Heath. It's just a different interpretation.
Doing our best Heath impersonations.
So, Chris and I have a winner, but the two of us have different winners, but both of these have something in common, and they are players that the coaches said were going to get more involved, and maybe we should have paid a little bit more attention to it, and pick these guys up as stash candidates. I understand not starting them, but Heath, or Chris rather, your winner is who?
Ladarius Green. I had pretty much written him off. I think he played 12 snaps, his previous high. in the first three games. He had a couple of big plays last week, but he played 35 snaps this week, ran 26 routes, had 11 targets. He was a big part of Pittsburgh's offense yesterday, obviously had a huge game, and we're starting to see some of that upside that people have been waiting for.
Yes, and I was reading about Ladarius Green this morning. Green is 21% owned. Remaining schedule is at Buffalo, which is looks like an okay matchup, at Cincinnati, which is a great one, and then week 16 against Baltimore, which is a terrible one, week 17.
I don't think it matters.
It might not. But
I don't think it matters at all. If you've got this, if Ladarius Green plays to his potential, and that's still a question mark.
Well, yeah, that's what I was
saying.
But
if he plays to his potential, and you've got Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, this offense is unstoppable.
What I was going to say, though, is that he said he's not back to 100% health.
Yeah, he just put up 6, 110, and a touchdown on 11 targets, not at 100%.
Okay, I'm just trying to tell you what he himself said. He's not back to 100% health. He is running slower, more precise routes. He also said, Ladarius Green, that he doesn't think defenses are really accounting for him yet.
They can't.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing with that, is that when you've got Le'Veon Bell catching passes out of the backfield, when you've got Antonio Brown, who I think is the best receiver in football, it's really hard to account for the, you know, number two tight end.
Yeah, oh yeah, okay. He's a winner, no doubt. Ladarius Green, 21% owned. He'll be one of the most added next week. And my winner is Ty Montgomery. The problem with Montgomery is his schedule looks pretty rough. Seattle this week, at Chicago, which is great, and Minnesota in week 16, and then at Detroit, resurgent defense there in week 17. And also Montgomery hasn't scored. So he's a slight winner. I just think that, you know, I was saying this Friday, unfortunately, this is the second time this year that I've done this. You know, I talked about it late on Friday, I think, on the podcast, and I know not everybody listens to the entire thing. We have a very dedicated audience. Some people do. But, you know, it was weeks ago I talked about Rob Kelly as someone I wanted to stash, and that was at like the 58-minute mark of a Friday podcast, so it might not have gotten the message across. But Montgomery, you know, Jamie was talking about it. Mike McCarthy said they wanted to get Montgomery and Michael more involved in the Packers' offense. And it had been clear to me, even before this game, that Montgomery was the best running back on the roster. He had done a good job every time they had given him carries. So, no, he didn't have a great game. No, I don't think Montgomery is a must-add, guys, but I do think he's the best running back. Unfortunately, he's in CBSSports.com leagues, unless your commissioner changed it, he's wide receiver eligible. But I think he's better than Starks. I think he's better than Michael, and I think he's going to get more work than both of them going forward.
This just feels more like James Starks is a loser instead of Ty Montgomery is a winner, since, you know, Ty Montgomery only got 8 touches to Terrence West's 13.
I agree. This was a weird game, though. I think the weather definitely played a role in the sloppiness of this game and the Packers not really putting up a lot of points. And you're right. Starks is absolutely a loser. I mean, he destroyed me in a must-win game. Not that I would have won with him.
I do want to push back on one thing that you said, Adam. Yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Since we're just in a disagreeable mood this morning.
No, I'm in a great mood.
You did say, like, there were some guys, Ty Montgomery, Ladarius Green, who their coaches said were going to get more involved and we should have listened to it. The counterpoint to that is that the Eagles said they were planning on featuring Wendell Smallwood this week and he had 20 fewer snaps. I'm just saying, you know, coaches aren't just going to give away their game plan. You know, sometimes they do, but for the most part, what they say, you can kind of take with a grain of salt.
But with Montgomery, it made sense because Starks was doing such a bad job. And Montgomery has been good this year. He really has. Whenever they've given him the opportunity, he's run the ball well.
Didn't Niall Davis get 9 carries yesterday? Or Christian Michael? That's just annoying.
Yeah, but what did he do with it? He had, I think, 22 yards.
He had a Christian Michael game.
Yeah.
So, 19 yards.
All right, maybe it is more that Starks is a loser. I think that's pretty clear. But if you can play Montgomery at running back, he's 46% owned in CBSSports.com leagues, maybe more. But I'm in one ESPN league where he is running back eligible, and he's available there. I should have picked him up, and I didn't. Let's go to the losers. Heath, your loser is...
the Saints, because they won't throw the ball to Michael Thomas. Like, I don't really totally get it, but it's pretty clear you can't count on Thomas to get number one wide receiver targets, so we probably shouldn't ever rank him as a number one wide receiver again, as I think we all did this week. Thomas got 5 targets, caught 4 of them for 42 yards. I don't know. I haven't looked at like the all 22 to see if like this was a situation where they just decided to take Michael Thomas away. But like Brandon Cooks and Willie Snead didn't have a good enough game to make me think that's the case. I think it's more of a case of Drew Brees just did not play very well, and they are really intent on spreading the ball around.
I would say I would go so far as to say the Saints don't have a single wide receiver that you can rely on every week consistently.
But you're going to start.
You're going to start at least right. two of them, but
right.
they're kind of all – it's kind of a weird situation because there's so many guys in that offense. Like Kobe Fleener led the team in receiving yards yesterday.
Well, they got two more outdoor games, and Kobe Fleener should have had a touchdown, by the way. And we got some fun stats today, including the last time Drew Brees did not throw a touchdown in a home game. But Fleener, maybe it was a touchdown. It was right near the goal line. He dropped the ball. This was weird. Nobody saw this coming. No doubt about it. Drew Brees was the biggest bust. Maybe there's some doubt, but he was the biggest quarterback bust, no question. Or maybe it was Kaepernick, actually, now that I'm thinking about it out loud. They were both bad. Chris, who's your loser in Week 13?
My loser's Tom Brady. We've seen in the three games that he's played essentially without Gronk. He had one game where he played, what, 8 snaps?
Right.
He's averaging 6.1 yards per attempt. The first two games he was able to put up decent fantasy numbers because... in the Jets game especially, he had the late touchdown. He had the 49ers in the first one. But it's clear he's not the same guy without Rob Gronkowski.
It is. And, you know, they also have an injury to Danny Amendola. He's going to miss the rest of the regular season, it seems, with a high ankle sprain. That's probably just good news for Malcolm Mitchell. But, yeah, Brady, guys, could be interesting the next couple games. Baltimore at home on Monday night and then at Denver. And I do think that you certainly need to plan ahead for Week 15 at Denver if you haven't already as a Tom Brady owner. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I don't want to start him at Denver at all. I'm still going to start him against the Ravens. Their defense is good. Their secondary is not great. He'll be fine.
I'm not. Yeah. But how high do you rank him?
He'll be top 10.
Yeah.
Probably some. I mean, I've not even began yet.
Yeah.
My Week 14 rankings, but I'm going to guess that he's going to be somewhere between 6 and 9.
How about this? Cousins is at Philadelphia. Would you start Cousins or Brady against the Ravens?
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Cousins wasn't great this week.
And Philadelphia's defense was just trash, but they've been good at home. I'm thinking I'll probably have Brady ahead of Cousins.
Okay. All right. So, Tom Brady owners, you don't need a backup plan this week, but maybe it would help. And certainly, if Tyrod Taylor gets dropped, he has Cleveland in Week 15.
He was awful.
Yeah, he was. He's in the fluke or puke section. So let's save it.
Okay.
And I'm in such a good mood that I didn't do a loser today. So let's go to tweet of the day, which is a very negative one from John Magnuson Jr. Hey, great call on the podcast, Scott, to start Kaepernick. You guys suck.
My favorite thing was before the games yesterday, the stats indicate, history indicates, that teams generally play about as you would expect when it's snowing. Mm-hmm. The over on snowy games over the last 10 years has actually been like 70% it's hit or something crazy like that. And so I was saying, hey, I'm not that worried about the snow. And it really only affected the 49ers that much. Like, every other team basically played to what you would expect, except for the 49ers.
Well, the first quarter, I think there was only 3 passes thrown in that game.
Yes.
It was snowing really hard at the beginning of the game. And that's what it is. If you have whiteout conditions, then the wind doesn't really matter. My general take is light precipitation doesn't bother teams or quarterbacks. It's just the wind that does. And the cold can bother. Like, we saw it with Peyton Manning. He did not like playing in cold weather. We may see it with Derek Carr this week. He's got very little exposure to cold weather, and he's going to play in a game that's 18 degrees on Thursday night.
Mm. Yeah.
For the most part, I think people overreact to
that.
This.
Well, that was the thing, is that people are going to say, oh, the snow. And it was just like, no, the 49ers are a disaster.
And I don't really, like, I don't totally get benching Kaepernick.
It was stupid.
When you've only thrown 5 passes.
Well, his reasoning was that Chip Kelly called a lot more pass plays than that, but Kaepernick wasn't getting the ball out. I think he got sacked 5 times. And yeah, he was struggling with the conditions. Chip Kelly acknowledged that. Kaepernick was struggling with the conditions, and that I think was the biggest reason why he benched him. He has not committed to Kaepernick starting next week. And they are playing the Jets next week. Then they're at Atlanta and at the Rams and then Seattle in week 17. You know, Kaepernick 74% owned. We kept saying earlier in the week when he was, I don't know, around 50% owned, whatever, with 40%. How is Kaepernick not more owned? Are you going to advise dropping him? Are you going to be able to trust Kaepernick next week if he's the starter?
Well, you're probably going to have to drop him because you're probably not going to find out who the starter is before you have to make a decision on the waiver wire.
I think it's going to be him. He deserves to start.
I don't know how you could watch Blaine Gabbert and Colin Kaepernick play at any point in their careers, let alone this season, and think, yeah, we need to start Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, it makes no sense. I think it was weather related.
But if he, I kind of like him against the Jets too.
He could bounce back. Absolutely, it's a home game, right? It's a home game.
Are you going to start Kaepernick over Andy Dalton against the Browns?
That's a tough one. Andy Dalton's actually been pretty decent, a lot better than I expected.
I think he's
going to
be the cut line this week. I'm not going to call him a must start, but Dalton's going to be the cut line for starting quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think Kaepernick, I would guess 15th or so against a pretty bad Jet secondary.
Of course, if AJ Green comes back, then it's much different, which is possible, but we'll wait and see. Here's your email of the day. This is from Luke. He says, "Dear Mike, Joe, and Dick."
Sportscasters?
Vice presidents. I'm only reading this email from Luke just to see if I am a sorcerer. So let's find out. I have a 3-point lead in standard scoring and I have Dante Moncrief left. My opponent is done. A win gives me a bye. A loss takes that bye away. Extra points from Moncrief do not improve my standing. The smart choice is just to bench him, but that's just not my style. So I'm just going to go out, guys, and say that Dante Moncrief, there's no chance he's scoring negative 4 points. No chance.
Yeah, he would need 9 yards or less and 2 fumbles.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So,
or I guess a pass attempt and an interception.
So we'll see. If that happens, then I think I'm probably going to have to quit the profession. That would just be very
run
weird.
Up the score.
Well, we've all got something to cheer for tonight.
All right, here's the big news. Doug Martin got hurt late in the game, but he should be fine for next week. They've got the Saints. Ooh, how are we feeling about Doug Martin right now? Man, this guy is really frustrating.
Talk about puke.
Yeah.
I've got Doug Martin cost me some playoff spots. I've got some playoff teams where I have Doug Martin this week. I'm going to start him if he plays.
I'm definitely going to start him, yeah.
All right, but
he hasn't been good this year, but
We have to give the Saints defense credit. They are not a bad run defense with Sheldon Rankins.
That's fine. He can get a goal line carry like he did this week.
He could. Yeah, that's the thing. He's still getting a lot of work. Heath, how did we do in the Rejects League?
We won.
So
but
are we
going
to make the playoffs?
No, we didn't. We fought back to 6-7. I believe I was 6-1.
Oh, stop it.
When setting the lineup.
So we needed the big Gronkowski
effort.
To lose. Did he lose?
No.
Oh,
and it didn't matter anyway because we had to outscore him by 40 points.
Ah, man. That would a shame.
Yeah, we just couldn't recover from early season decisions.
Drafting Doug Martin. That was all you. Let's see what else we got here. Mark Ingram got hurt on the second drive of the game, but he returned. Should be fine. Jamison Crowder played through a hip pointer there at Philadelphia this week. Capri Bibbs, high ankle sprain, guys. Let's talk about the Broncos' backfield here. Devontae Booker, Juwan Thompson, they're Denver's running backs right now with Bibbs with this high ankle sprain. There's speculation that Justin Forsett maybe should be signed. He was recently released. He played under Gary Kubiak. He did well. But Booker is Doug Martin. I mean, these guys are getting work. They scored touchdowns to kind of save things a little bit. But I think Booker has now 3 or 4 straight games with a ton of touches and single-digit fantasy points, even if he scores. So, how do you feel about the Broncos running backs at Tennessee, New England, at Kansas City, at Oakland?
Well, Booker is Doug Martin without the history of success.
Yeah.
He's never really shown it. We just speculated, and he's been pretty terrible. I wrote about him today, and I guess what I would say is I don't view Booker as a must-start, even with this volume, even with this defense. But you're probably going to be in a position where you have to start him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we say this every week about 8 different guys, you know, whether we're talking about Devontae Booker or Jonathan Stewart or Todd Gurley. if you're getting that kind of volume, it's almost impossible to sit.
Yeah, I don't. So what separates them? Because to me, I think it's quality of offense. If you've got a whole bunch of running backs who are getting, let's say, at least 15 touches a game, and not doing well with them, you know, whether it's their fault or not. Because let's address something else here. People are kind of occasionally calling us out for being a little bit too yards per carry police, basically. And what I've been saying is, look, whether it's that guy's fault or not, mm-hmm. it's still what's happening. You know, it's still the situation. Maybe it's the offensive line. Maybe it's the coordinator. Maybe it's the play calling. Whatever it is, it's still the guy's production on a per touch basis. So I still think it's relevant. It's not everything. We know that.
There's a lot of fluctuation in yards per carry on a year to year, game to game basis as well. But like you said, yards per carry isn't great when you're doling out credit or blame. I think we kind of fell into that trap with Melvin Gordon.
Right. And Jay Ajayi, too, before the offensive line got healthy. You know, we thought Jay Ajayi was bad.
Well, I have a little problem with this, though, because both Melvin Gordon and Jay Ajayi are running better. Like, Melvin Gordon's running better than he did last year.
Yes.
Jay Ajayi's running better than he was earlier in the year.
But he didn't have much work. It was we prematurely labeled him as bad.
Who?
Jay Ajayi.
Okay, but I'm just saying that his yards per carry were not just 100% a product of the offensive line, and then 100% a product of the offensive line, and he was the same running back the whole time. He's running with more confidence. He's running harder. He's breaking more tackles.
Yeah, he's playing great, and he broke some tackles yesterday too.
I think a fun group or not fun group to look at for this week. You've got Devontae Booker, you've got Jay Ajayi, and you've got Todd Gurley.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about Doug Martin? I feel like
Doug Martin's, I think, ahead of all three of those.
Against New Orleans, I think he probably is.
Yeah. And going into this week, Thomas Rawls was also in this group, but he had a nice little breakout game last night.
And that's Thomas Rawls is a good example of why, like, his yards per carry for the season probably looks pretty good because he had a couple of long runs yesterday. And that's really the thing with Todd Gurley, especially this season, is that last season he had a ton of big plays, a lot of 50, 60-yard runs. Mm-hmm. Overall, he was getting stopped for short gains quite often. It's just he had, you know, 10 or 12 really big plays that boosted his numbers.
Would you guys like to hear a big play stat or a lack of big play stat?
Yes.
Okay. Odell Beckham has 3 games this year with a catch of more than 26 yards. 3 games this year for Beckham with a catch of more than 26 yards. He had 9 such games last year. He's just not getting big plays. It's very strange.
Yeah.
You're starting him, but that's why he's been a little bit disappointing this year. And Eli Manning's just not having a good year. Earl Thomas broke his leg. He tweeted about retirement. One play after he broke his leg, Carolina completed a 55-yard touchdown to Ted Ginn. Thomas Rawls returned after being evaluated for a concussion, so he's fine. Marquise Wilson missed the second half with a groin injury. Well, that was the worst call I ever made, but at least there was an injury. And Dorial Green-Beckham left with
injury. At least he got hurt.
Yeah, made me feel less stupid.
So, silver lining on that cloud.
Well, it's not like he has a horrible injury. It's a groin injury. Whatever.
Groin injuries are pretty terrible.
Look, a groin injury cost Heath $100.
It did? Why? Because it couldn't dunk or something?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Must be the groin injury then. And Dorial Green-Beckham left with injured ribs. X-rays were negative. Yeah, Green-Beckham has had 3 straight games with 8 or more targets. I think he's 14% owned. He struggled yesterday, but... Do you think in a deeper league sense, 14-team leagues, that people might be sleeping on Dorial Green-Beckham a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, he's in an offense that has 3 kind of samey receivers, not in terms of skill set, but just in terms of the fact that, like, they're all supposed to be good and they're all really underwhelming. Their quarterback's not playing well right now. So, you know, 14-team, he's worth a look. I think I added him in one of our leagues, but I'm not excited about him.
Okay, that's Dorial Green-Beckham. How about some fun stuff here? We'll go through these quickly. Drew Brees did not throw a touchdown pass for the first time in 60 home games. 60! This stat's even weirder. The Lions won their first road game after Thanksgiving. They had lost 22 straight road games after Thanksgiving. What the hell? Too much turkey? Maybe?
That doesn't even make sense.
No.
I mean, I know they're a bad team, but...
Well, they've been terrible.
Yeah.
And after Thanksgiving, they've generally been eliminated.
Yeah.
And they're on the road.
Probably yeah, but still 22 straight road games is.
That's insane.
It's a lot.
It's insane. Marquette King, Oakland's very fun punter, spiked a penalty flag.
He's the NFL MVP.
What I didn't understand, because he got penalized.
Did you see his tweet?
Yes, but the narc.
The screenshot of the guy snitching on him?
Yes. what I didn't understand, because there was a penalty for running into the kicker,
yeah.
And then he got a personal foul penalty,
yeah.
And it was fourth down, but they got the ball on first down.
Yeah, because it was an after the play. So I think the roughing the kicker was assessed, the game of first down, and then they tacked off. Then they took 15 yards off. I think that's what happened. David Johnson, second player in NFL history with 100 yards from scrimmage in each of his first 12 games. Can you name the first?
I'm going to go with the obvious, LaDainian Tomlinson.
By the way, not first 12 games. First 12 games of a season. The answer is Edgerrin James. Thank you for playing. Tom Brady is the winningest quarterback in NFL history. This stat will make the two of you smile. Blake Bortles has more pick sixes in his career than wins, according to ESPN.
Best stat ever. And stat has ever been better.
I know for you. The Bengals offensive tackle, Jake Fisher, he's kind of a reserve offensive tackle. This was the dumbest play of the week, I think.
That was so good.
It's ridiculous. They threw a pass play to him. He caught the ball. He turned upfield. He gained some more yards. He hurt his leg, and he fumbled. It was so stupid. I don't know why they did that. And yes, I have now seen the AT&T commercial that says Die Hard is a Christmas movie. It doesn't make it right. It's ridiculous. Leaderboard for Fantasy Week 13. The quarterbacks. This was a bit of a low-scoring week, by the way. It was. You know, I'll give you a stat on wide receivers in a second. But here are your top three quarterbacks. Joe Flacco, Carson Palmer, and Matthew Stafford. Flacco with 37 fantasy points, Palmer with 30, and Stafford with 27. Who stood out to you guys yesterday?
The Dolphins' defense?
Like how non-existent it was?
They were so bad.
I was so happy to see Dennis Pitta get 2 touchdowns. Very pleased with that. But as for quarterbacks who stood out, I think it has to be the way Andy Dalton is playing.
Well, but wait. What about the three leaders here?
You want us to talk about the three guys you just talked about?
Yes.
Carson Palmer, if he's going to throw 45 times a game, he will remain fantasy relevant.
I had a feeling. I told you on the radio show Saturday night that I thought I was ranking him too low.
Yeah, you did.
And then I didn't move him up. So good job, me.
Way to go.
I always trust Vegas.
He's been kind of still meh this season. He got a touchdown from.
And we should be fair to him.
He got touchdowns from JJ Nelson and Mike. Oh, no, it's not his fault.
Right. Well, some of it is.
He's a high variance quarterback. And he's got a mediocre offense, a bad offensive line, a mediocre receiving core. It's not all his fault, but it's been really hard to trust him this season.
Sure. Carson Palmer will be at Miami. Do you guys care at all about this Joe Flacco thing, 37 fantasy points? Again, he kind of called out his offensive coordinator, not in a bad way, just said that they were a little too conservative last week, so they opened it up a bit more. Marty Morningweg called, I guess, a very good game plan. Dolphins really struggled. This was a big surprise to me. I thought the Dolphins would win. In terms of fantasy, do you buy this at all from Flacco, or can we ignore it?
I don't know that you totally ignore it. Like, if you are the guy that totally sold out for Kaepernick and you have to have a starter this week, he plays New England, that's not a terrible matchup for a quarterback.
Yeah, he's a number two quarterback, though.
He is.
He's been awful this year.
He's been awful for a couple years.
Yeah, 2 years ago, well, he got hurt last year. 2 years ago, I think he was the number 13 quarterback. But he's just not a big stats producer. They don't really run the ball, though. And then Stafford, 5 straight weeks with fewer than 20 fantasy points. Now this 27 fantasy point game. Best game of any quarterback against New Orleans this year, except for Cam Newton, who I think had 29, but he had a rushing touchdown. So Stafford had the best passing game. And really, it was the Golden Tate play. Do you trust him now against the Bears, at the Giants, at Dallas, last 3 games?
I think Matthew Stafford weirdly has become a better in real life than fantasy quarterback.
Yes.
Well, and it's really strange compared to where he's been in his career.
We talked about this Sunday on the show. Like, we need to understand who he just played against, not just in this game against the Saints, who have been decent against quarterbacks, but he had a terrible schedule the last 4 games.
Okay.
He played the Vikings twice in four games. He had a game against Jacksonville. He's been pretty decent defensively.
Houston.
Houston.
Yeah.
I would feel relatively comfortable with him as a borderline number one the rest of the way.
He's only got one good matchup left, though.
Next week.
Yeah, Chicago. The Giants aren't a good matchup, and at Dallas, that game's going to have like 12 plays total.
That's true, but Dallas hasn't been really that bad of a matchup for quarterbacks because they're always ahead. Like, they only get to run 40 offensive plays, but 35 of them are passes. No,
we can worry about that in Week 16. Let's go to the running backs. David Johnson, not much to say there. Jordan Howard, 32 carries, 117 yards, and 3 touchdowns. He does have a tough-ish schedule at Detroit. I have to look more into that. Green Bay, Washington at Minnesota in Week 17.
Detroit's not a great matchup anymore.
Yeah.
Like, for sure, because it's not that they have a good defense, it's just that I think the Saints only ran 52 plays yesterday.
Yeah, but their defense is playing better. I think it's like 5 straight games with less than 20 points or something.
Right, some of that's because of how slow their offense is playing.
Sure. Yeah, either way, I don't know. Jordan Howard's sort of been matchup-proof if he scores anyway, but he's about 100 total yards every week now. It's impressive.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
99 or more yards in 5 straight games, including games against Minnesota, at Tampa Bay, and at the Giants. So you're going to have a hard time sitting Howard. And then Thomas Rawls. So if you look at number 3 at running back, it was Rawls in standard. He was outscored by Latavius Murray and Devontae Freeman in PPR. Which guy interests you there between Rawls, Murray, and Freeman, Latavius Murray? Who's the one that's most interesting to you in fantasy?
Well, you're never sitting Latavius Murray or Devontae Freeman, so Thomas Rawls is the most interesting to talk about.
Okay, discuss.
He looked good. He had a couple of those, can we call them vintage plays when he's only played 11 games in his career? He had a couple of vintage Thomas Rawls plays where he just kind of bounced off guys, picked up like 6 or 7 extra yards, and that's what's been missing for him this season. So much of his production last year came after contact. It was nice seeing him get ahead of steam. And I think that's a big thing with a guy like him is he can't exactly make guys miss in the backfield. He's not that shifty. But if you give him a couple of yards of steam, he's going to run through guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, and there will be teams that are in this situation, but especially if you have 2 running backs and a flex, I don't think you're going to be in very many situations where you're sitting Thomas Rawls either. His schedule isn't great the rest of the way, and it stinks that he doesn't. That 49ers game probably doesn't count for most people, but I might have a hard time benching him against Green Bay this week.
Yeah, it is the Rams and Cardinals games do give me pause because those are teams with really strong defensive lines.
But the Rams at home, they're not very good on the road defensively. So
yeah, you're probably still starting him there.
No, I think this week at the Packers is tough. I mean, I said this to you, Heath, on the radio show. There's this narrative that because of the fourth quarter with Rob Kelly a few weeks ago, that the Packers' run defense isn't good anymore, and I don't really think that's true.
Yeah, and they weren't great against Houston.
They were great against Lamar Miller.
He was hurt.
He was, but he was also, he's in the puker fluke. Who do you think, gut feeling, who do you think's better going forward, Thomas Rawls or LeGarrette Blount?
Rawls.
Yeah, Rawls.
Okay, wide receivers, Golden Tate. Golden Tate led all wide receivers this week with 20 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues. In week 12, so just 1 week ago, 7 wide receivers scored more than 20 fantasy points. Now, we have some good ones going tonight, but obviously this was a down week with passing games. So Tate had a huge game. Tyler Lockett had a big game, but 75-yard touchdown run, that's going to help. And Jordy Nelson was number 3. Jordy Nelson, last 3 games, not counting week 17, Seattle, at Chicago, Minnesota. Do you feel nervous about weeks 14 and 16, Seattle and Minnesota?
Sure. I'm probably not sitting him against Seattle, but yeah, I'm nervous. There have been a handful of games this season where he's needed that touchdown to bail him out, and luckily he's got it. But, you know, if he doesn't get that touchdown against Seattle, it might be a long game.
Here's the good news. Richard Sherman is dealing with a wrist injury, and because of that wrist injury, he did not shadow Kelvin Benjamin. In fact, I don't think he saw Benjamin that much at all. So it's possible that he won't shadow Jordy Nelson, and Nelson could see a lot of Deshaun Shedd. And also, guys who have gotten a lot of targets against Richard Sherman this year have done pretty well. They've done fine, right? Julio Jones, Brandon Marshall come to mind.
They did really well early in the year, and then receivers were pretty much terrible against Sherman for about a month and a half, and then Mike Evans caught two touchdowns in one quarter.
Yeah, so the good ones have done
the,
well.
The
right?
loss of the loss of Earl Thomas could be big here. He's a big part of their passing game. Cam Chancellor's not as strong in coverage, so that could be big. I think the big thing with Jordy Nelson is you're not exactly relying on him for a ton of yards after catch, and that's really where Seattle just kills people, is they just tackle you immediately.
Well, that's a good point. I just want to see where he ranks right now, because he's probably a top five wide receiver. Jordy Nelson is...
I actually just had that open.
Fifth.
Yep.
In standard.
And Golden Tate is still behind Marvin Jones in scoring for the season, by the way.
Because of one game.
How crazy is that?
I just can't believe you gave up on Golden Tate. Like, he was your guy.
Still have him in a ton of leagues.
You had to pick him back up.
No, I never dropped
him. That was quite a turnaround for Golden Tate. All right, tight ends, the top tight ends this week. First of all, how about this? As of right now, the top four tight ends in standard scoring leagues. Listen to this, people. Jimmy Graham, Greg Olsen, Delanie Walker, and Travis Kelce, in that order, sort of. Not in that order. So Jimmy Graham, Greg Olsen, Delanie Walker, Travis Kelce. Those are your top four tight ends. They have 98, 98, 98, and 97 fantasy points. We basically have a four-way tie at the top between
Pick
Graham,
pace,
Olsen,
Travis.
Walker, and Kelce. That cool or what?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be. Imagine how good Travis Kelce would be if he scored touchdowns.
He is number one in PPR. Then Olsen, then Graham, then Jordan Reed, then Delanie Walker. But your top three tight ends this week were Dennis Pitta, Ladarius Green. Actually, we had a tie at third. Dennis Pitta, Ladarius Green, Cameron Brate, and Travis Kelce. So, yeah, Brate's taking advantage of a very good schedule. It continues to be good. And Pitta, 37% owned at New England, Philadelphia, at Pittsburgh, at Cincinnati. Any interest in Dennis Pitta? His second game this year with more than 5 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues.
Nope, I missed the regression. I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon now.
Okay.
I mean, he's a useful tight end. I think among guys who are out there, Zach Ertz is only 75% owned. I'd rather have him. I'm not sure if I'd rather have Ladarius Green, though.
I'd rather have Ladarius Green for upside. I think the interesting question is, because Greg Olsen was terrible again.
Yeah.
If you've got Greg Olsen, would you rather start Olsen over Green, Brate, Ertz, any of those guys?
Carolina, let me see the
matchup.
It's
going to be a tough question. Greg Olsen has not been good for like 6 weeks.
Yeah. San Diego for Olsen, I don't think they're so good against. They're not good against tight ends at all. But does it really matter? I would probably start Ladarius Green over him. But Pitta, I have zero interest in Pitta. Okay, like this guy has been.
I mean, he's
bad.
Like top five in catches at tight end. So in PPR, I think he's pretty interesting.
I believe he was actually second or third in catches for the season at tight end.
Yeah, he's averaging like 8 yards per catch, but he's a big part of the offense.
He is.
He's third in catches.
No, he's second. He's tied with Olsen for second. Kelce has 61, and Olsen and Pitta have 60. Kelce has 65. Olsen, Pitta, 61. Okay, so are we done there?
Yeah, Pitta's eighth in PPR scoring at tight end.
That's crazy. But obviously last week or this week had a lot to do with it yesterday. I think you all know about SeatGeek by now. SeatGeek is awesome. The smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the football games or the concerts or basketball games or whatever that you want to see up close and in person this season. And SeatGeek gets you to the game. I've got the app on my phone. I use it all the time. It's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. With our offer code FFT, FFT at checkout, you will get $20 back off your first SeatGeek purchase. That's an amazing deal. So why SeatGeek? Because you always get the best deal on every ticket. SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but with SeatGeek, you're always going to find the lowest available prices. And they get the most bang for your buck because they look at all the seats. They give you a grade. You get a green dot for every seat. The greener the dot, the better the value. So you look at the map, you say, oh, that's the best value. I'm going to buy those tickets. SeatGeek is also backing their tickets with their 100% guarantee. You can shop with confidence on SeatGeek. So download the SeatGeek app. Use the offer code FFT. Click add a promo code. The offer code is FFT. Save $20. You're going to get $20 back after your first SeatGeek purchase. Download the SeatGeek app right now. Enter the promo code FFT. Time to play Fluke or Puke. I know you guys have been really waiting, anticipating for this. So I give you a bad performance. You tell me, was it a fluke? Or is this, you know, going to make you puke for the rest of the season or close to it? Tyrod Taylor and his 12 fantasy points. Fluke or puke?
Puke.
Yeah?
No, it's probably... I think it's a fluke in how bad he played. It made me want to puke because it wasn't fluky in the term of he was unlucky. He played god-awful.
Well, okay, what does this mean going forward? Do we have any... Pittsburgh this week, Cleveland, Miami, I think all at home, and then at the Jets.
I don't think you're starting him against Pittsburgh this week unless you're in a really desperate situation. I'd rather start Andy Dalton. I think I'd rather start Flacco.
Okay. Yeah, Taylor, I think, is now a Week 15 specialist for the Brady owner at Denver, for the Luck owner at Minnesota, for the Breeze owner at Arizona. Just something to consider. If Taylor gets dropped, you might want to pick him up. He's got Cleveland at home.
It is promising that Sammy Watkins played 45 snaps yesterday. That was a 21-snap increase over the previous week. I'm not sure if he's back, like in terms of being the guy he is, but I think that's going to determine Tyrod Taylor moving forward.
Hey, I wanted to puke at Mike Gillisley getting the touchdowns yesterday. What was that all about?
That was awful.
Very strange.
Yeah.
Chris really enjoyed it. He's kind of giggling.
I mean, it's funny. I don't have a lot of LeSean McCoy, so I actually think it's funny.
All right, next up, fluke or puke, Lamar Miller and his two fantasy points at Green Bay.
Well, it's a fluke because he was hurt and missed some time in that game, and it was a nasty weather game. There's no threat of the pass, which is kind of the situation for Miller generally, but yeah. I'll say fluke.
I'll say fluke, especially because he's got Indianapolis, Jacksonville, and Cincinnati coming up.
Okay. Jay Ajayi with his 8 fantasy points. He did have 6 catches. That was excellent, so better in PPR. First game with more than 19 receiving yards since week 2. I have a stat that I'll give out here, but look, with Arizona and the Jets coming up here, fluke or puke for Jay Ajayi? What do you think going forward?
Puke. Puke.
And this wasn't even the way I thought it was going to happen. I thought they might not have as much success running the ball. Instead, they were just awful and didn't run it very much.
Okay, so let me disagree then, because I can make a case here for Jay Ajayi. Jay Ajayi, okay, the second running back all season to average 4 yards per carry or better, and he blew that away, averaged 5 yards per carry, against the Ravens, who arguably have the best run defense in football. And the first one was Isaiah Crowell at an 80-yard touchdown run and didn't do much else. Second, so he pretty much had the best game on a per-carry basis against the Ravens all year. And they're not going to get Pouncey back this year. If they do, maybe 16, 17, something like that. But let's assume, though. But they had 4 healthy offensive linemen, and he ran for 5 yards per carry, and he broke some tackles. I actually think it's pretty encouraging. He only had 12 carries because they were getting blown out. But if they stay in the game and they've got 4 of their 5 offensive linemen, maybe that's enough for Jay Ajayi to produce.
I don't think the offensive line played particularly well. He ran outstanding. He had several carries where he had multiple broken tackles in the backfield. No, I can't get excited about him against either one of the matchups that he has. He's going to be a borderline number 2, just like he was this week.
Yeah.
Okay. Kelvin Benjamin, fluke with 1 fantasy point, was not even shadowed by Richard Sherman, or puke.
I'll say fluke because, like, not being shadowed by Richard Sherman, if you play outside all the time, you're still getting a very tough matchup against this Seattle defense. Benjamin is not as good as he was earlier in the year. He was never a top 10 wide receiver, but his situation makes him a number 2 for the most part against decent matchups.
He's got some.
What's that?
He's got some coming up.
Right. So he'll be a fine number 2 the rest of the way.
Will he, though? Because he's
23rd in scoring at wide receiver. I think that's probably about where I expect him to be moving forward. Okay. He's probably not someone that I'm definitely starting or definitely sitting. It just depends on how the rest of my team looks.
Okay, that's Kelvin Benjamin. Davante Adams, 1 fantasy point on 7 targets. Fluke or puke?
Complete fluke. Now, it may turn into a situation where we don't know exactly which Packers receiver is going to get one of the 2 or 3 touchdowns that week. So it makes him, like, we had him as a high-end number 2, and maybe he's a low-end number 2 or a high-end number 3 instead. but he's not going to be this bad.
Okay.
I'm Chris slightly, does not agree.
I mean, Seattle and Minnesota in two of his last three games.
Yeah, you know, it's I kind of think he might get Sherman if Sherman does not shadow Jordy Nelson, because correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like Adams is on the offensive right side of the field more often than
that's
Jordy,
correct.
Right? And that's Sherman's side. So we'll see. But I do think weather had a role in the bad game. And you know, Rodgers is not 100%, but he said he's getting better. Last one, fluke or puke, Steve Smith.
Fluke? I don't know. Like, six catches for 53 yards doesn't even seem spectacular. Like, it doesn't seem remarkable either way, and I mean that in the literal sense of the term remarkable.
Like, we should not remark
about it. Doesn't seem remarkable.
I don't think he's a safe start.
Him or Kelvin Benjamin.
Probably.
Like, I think they're kind of, they're completely different players in every sense of the word.
I
kind of view
them
the same
start.
Way.
I'm not excited about starting either one. Are you?
No, but you have to start some players you're not excited about sometimes.
Yeah. Almost every league we play in has two receivers and a flex or three receivers. And I don't know how you could not start Steve Smith or Kelvin Benjamin in those leagues.
Well, think about this. We're talking to playoff teams now, right? For the most part. Unless you're eliminated from the playoffs and still listening, that's very cool. But if you're in the playoffs, like my two Steve Smith teams, I don't have to start Steve Smith. And so I will have to decide now, like Spencer Ware or Steve Smith in a PPR league. And that might be tough.
I have one. You would put Devontae Parker in that same category, right?
Yep.
Hell no, man. Parker's
I have
better.
A league where
he
I
plays
can't,
for the Dolphins, Chris.
I have
Come
a
on.
League where I can't start Devontae Parker. Like, I just, there's no room for him at all. I think there are going to be situations like that with guys like Parker, with guys like Smith, maybe less so with Kelvin Benjamin because you did actually have to expend some draft capital on him. But guys that you picked up on waivers, you might just, like, I didn't need to pick up Devontae Parker. I haven't started him at any point in that league. But I have him.
Like, you say hell no because Devontae Parker is much better than Steve Smith and Kelvin Benjamin?
I'm not going to say he's much better. I'm going to say I would much rather have Devontae Parker than
he
Steve Smith.
Definitely leads the league in, like, replay review catches. Even though he's only played, like, five games.
Like, and that's, again, it comes down to Devontae Parker caught a touchdown pass this week.
Yes, because
he had three catches for 34 yards.
Yeah, he was playing hurt, and he also had a second end zone target. They were disappointed in his effort there, and it was intercepted, and they thought he should have made a better play on it. But he is obviously the guy that seems to be most likely to get targeted in the end zone. He's Tannehill's touchdown guy. Jarvis Landry has never been that.
10 yards the previous week.
He's got 10 targets in his last two games. Steve Smith had 10 targets this week. I'll take Smith.
Okay, I mean, he's been more productive. He's a better player, I'd say, than Steve Smith. I believe that.
He's been more productive than Steve Smith over what time frame? This random one, like the last 3 to 4 weeks?
No, since the San Diego game, I think it was.
So the random 3 to 4 weeks.
You know what, Heath? I hate when you do that because there's a narrative here. There's a storyline here. He got healthy, and they started talking up Devontae Parker.
You just said he's playing hurt.
Yeah, he just got hurt again, but he got healthy and he started playing better. And you know what? You look at the last game, not this week. You look at week 12. He had two big plays called back on replay review. He had a touchdown that was called back on replay review. I mean, like, he could have had an enormous game. And Steve Smith, I don't think he's had more than 60 yards in four games since coming back.
He had 99 yards just two games ago, 8 catches, 99 yards, and a touchdown. He had 5 for 60 and a touchdown the game before that.
All right, 60 yards. He's been one game with more than 60 yards in what, his past 5?
Like, this whole argument is just arbitrary endpoints.
No, it's not arbitrary with Devontae Parker.
Because
no,
Devontae Parker had a 64-yard game instead of Steve Smith's 60-yard game.
It's not arbitrary with Devontae Parker. He, you know, this is the thing. Like, your refusal to acknowledge Devontae Parker as an up-and-coming, rising player, it befuddles me. And you want to sit there and doubt everything and doubt everything. But eventually, you're going to have to start listening to the team.
Chris agrees with me.
Can I interject?
Start listening to the damn team and start watching the games. Devontae Parker is a good player.
Adam sounds legitimately befuddled. I don't think this is a bit.
No, I think he's
I'm frustrated because we had the same argument about Frank Gore on the radio.
Their numbers over the last four games are remarkably similar.
Yeah, but Devontae Parker had two big plays called back, including a touchdown. So his numbers were almost so much better. The only argument that I think
you know that is because you watch Dolphins games. You have no idea how many yards Steve Smith had taken away because of penalty.
I don't watch Dolphins games. I watch as much of the Dolphins as I watch the Ravens. I mean, for the guy who's such an ageist, why don't you go with the young guy that the coaches love that is emerging as a player right now? I mean, the argument against Parker is that he's hurt, and that I get. But to say, like, I just don't know why you discount him over and over and over again.
I'm not discounting him. I'm saying he's basically Steve Smith.
Basically Steve Smith.
I just said that Steve Smith is a borderline number two wide receiver. I'm saying that Devontae Parker is a borderline number two wide receiver. I'm not insulting him.
Okay, you look at the wide receiver rankings since that San Diego game. He's in the range with like Malcolm Mitchell, Tyreek Hill, Devontae Parker, Kenny Britt, Pierre Garçon. I think that sounds about right. He's ranked 15th in scoring over the last four games.
Parker?
Yeah.
Who's that, Chris?
That seems fine to me. Like, he's solid. He's not a superstar. He's, like, if you have to decide between him and Steve Smith, I don't know who I'm going with. I'm probably playing the matchups there. I would give Devontae Parker the edge a little bit, but I acknowledge that there's probably just some, like, shiny new toy aspect to it. You know, a little mystery box.
And I will definitely rank Devontae Parker higher next year.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, like that league where I have Devontae Parker that I can't play him in, I picked him up because it's a keeper league.
Right.
If it was a year-by-year league, I'd probably still own him just because I don't want someone else to, but, you know, there are going to be some people who can't start Devontae Parker. There are going to be some people who can't start Steve Smith.
Yeah, I get that. It's not arbitrary endpoints. Like, I'm following a narrative here. I'm not following arbitrary endpoints. I'm following when Parker got healthy and the coaches started talking about how he was improving his practice habits and things like that. Things that matter. It's not just targets and fantasy points all the time. It's narrative too.
Yeah, but there are situations where guys get talked up and then don't do anything too.
But he did do something. That was a difference.
Yeah.
You know,
he
started producing. All right. There are a lot of defensive news and notes, and nobody really cares too much about that. So, well, I didn't even hear what he said. Should I not even ask?
I didn't say anything. I did not say one word.
I think Josh Sitton, Chicago's left guard, he was active. He only played two snaps, but at least it's good to see he's on the mend. Should help their running game a little bit. The Patriots lost cornerback Eric Rowe to a hamstring injury. He had been playing pretty well for them. The Rams cornerback E.J. Gaines left with a quad injury. Ravens cornerback Tavon Young, shoulder injury. And Giants got pretty beat up yesterday. Jason Pierre-Paul, Damon Harrison, and Jonathan Hankins, three of their best players, all got hurt, and two of them returned, but I don't know.
Sounds like the JPP one could be pretty serious,
yeah,
right?
He's having an MRI today. So there was some carnage yesterday on that defensive line. Well, let's see. Hot takes. Detroit 28, New Orleans 13. Anything we didn't cover here?
Golden Tate's really good. And he's the one guy on that team that can make plays with the ball in his hands after the catch, which makes him the best receiver on that team by a pretty decent margin at this point, I think.
Chicago 26, San Francisco 6. Anything we didn't cover here?
Farewell, Vance McDonald.
Well, farewell everyone if Blaine Gabbert's the quarterback except Carlos Hyde.
Yep.
You know, Vance McDonald did catch two touchdown passes with Blaine Gabbert weeks 1 and 2.
And Jeremy Curley was actually not bad with him either, but that doesn't feel sustainable. It's Blaine Gabbert.
Baltimore 38, Miami 6. What do you guys think about Devontae Parker?
He's a nice borderline number two, kind of like a Steve Smith type guy.
I think he's the worst.
Okay, cool. Green Bay 21, Houston 13. Oh, DeAndre Hopkins. What'd you think of that bacon-saving touchdown at the end there?
Good for those people that had the faith to start DeAndre Hopkins this week.
Yeah. Started in 84% of CBSSports.com leagues.
Yeah, well, that sounds about
that's
right.
That's great for them then.
Yeah, I started him.
I would guess that number is going to be a lot lower come playoff time because those teams aren't going to be in the playoffs.
No, it's going to be high. It's going to be the same because they're not going to adjust their lineups.
True. Yeah.
Okay, I think pretty much covers that game. Kansas City 29 and Atlanta 20. Oh man, what a fun time to be a Chiefs fan, huh?
Can I make a kind of weird comparison? Because they're not similar players at all in terms of their skill sets, but the way they're being used and the way they're producing, Tyreek Hill is just like super fast Jarvis Landry, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like I think that's fair.
Like, he's not really breaking the big plays that we're hoping for, given his skill set. And I think the fact that he's able to is a good sign, but he hasn't actually put it into practice in the offense yet. We've seen in the return game.
But it was
a lot of short catches and not a lot of yak either.
No, he's not broken that big play yet. He was a number three wide receiver in this game. It's kind of what I still expect because he got tackled twice inside the 10. So he was not that far from a touchdown. I thought the most fun part of this game was that Eric Berry outscored the Dolphins, 49ers, and Panthers this week.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Yeah. That was a great finish.
Yeah, I mean, it's fluky, that type of, to win a game like that, for sure. But
better than the Raiders, sure.
We got to hope. Well, they're clearly better than the Raiders. Did you watch the game when they played each other earlier?
You think they're better than the Raiders?
Let's not get into it.
I think
you guys already fought. Let's not get into it.
I've really made Raiders fans mad on Twitter already over the last week, and I'm sure over the next 3 days I'm going to as well. But these two teams played each other once in Oakland and Kansas City and manhandled.
Heath, if you really want to lean into it, print out a picture of John Madden and rip it during Fantasy Football Today.
Okay. I will. I'll do that. I think the Raiders are more like a 7-5 team than a 10-2 team.
Ooh, wow. Well, 7-5 is not so bad.
Right.
Okay. Well, they just too many penalties. They got to stop with the freaking penalties. What do you suggest to Tevin Coleman owners right now? He did have 12 carries in this game, but only 4 fantasy points.
Well, there's two types of Tevin Coleman owners, those that aren't listening anymore and those that are in the playoffs and probably didn't start him. I don't think he's going to get the volume to be worth starting for the rest of this year.
He's a flex guy.
He's going to have a good game on your bench. He's going to piss you off so much, you know, because he's just going to score like some touchdown. You know, Matt Ryan, this is a very important fantasy game, I think. Matt Ryan, he's been kind of a letdown lately. He had such a great schedule to start the season.
Mm-hmm.
And the game at Seattle was great for him too, but, you know, you can make the case he's been good against normal opponents and has really beaten up on the bad ones.
Well, he's got San Francisco in 2 weeks and Carolina a game after that. So
yeah.
If you can get through this week, I might be starting Kirk Cousins over him in the one league where I have them both. But other than that,
like I've kind of got my quarterback rankings, the only things I've started on. And like the problem is the Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins tier is still in the top 10.
Yeah.
You're probably starting both of those guys this week. I don't love I hate the way they play in the red zone, to be honest. Yeah. I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, they know that teams are going to try to take Julio away, so they just try to do everything but throw it to Julio. He's better than two defenders. Just throw it to Julio.
All right, so he's at the Rams. Ryan's at the Rams this week. And also, Julio's a little dinged up, but, you know, he's fine. Who are you going to start? Eli Manning home against the Cowboys or Matt Ryan at the Rams?
That's
I'm going to start Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't think it's an easy call because he's got a very good history against the Cowboys, scored 24 points in week 1 against the Cowboys.
Would you start him over Dak?
Who, Eli or
you're putting them close to each other in the rankings. So
I think I'd start Dak.
Yeah, I'm going to struggle probably with because Ben is on the road at Buffalo. On the road has been pretty terrible.
Yeah.
Cousins at Philadelphia, Ryan at the Rams, Dak at the Giants, Jameis at home against the Saints. I mean, that's an interesting tier at the bottom of the number one quarterbacks this week.
I was pretty encouraged by the way Prescott played at Minnesota. He just, what did he throw, 14 passes or 18 passes in that game?
Right, he just didn't have to.
He almost had the touchdown to Dez. Dez tumbled down at the one. I guess you got to look at the Giants' defensive line. If it's really beat up and they're not going to stop Ezekiel Elliott, but if they're just going to get obliterated by him, then maybe that's a case against Dak, if that makes sense. And we're just about done here. So New England 26, LA 10, hot takes. Malcolm Mitchell, what do you think?
I think we talked coming into this week about all those breakout wide receivers, and we were all had Tyreek Hill as the consensus number one, and Wilson and Mitchell were the two and three. And I would say that Mitchell may have now elevated himself to number one with Hill right behind him.
Okay. I think I'm done for today. I think we'll save the rest for tomorrow. We'll do some leftovers tomorrow.
Can I get your guys' thoughts on Devontae Parker and Steve Smith?
I think this is honestly a carryover from Saturday night.
Well, I don't, like, what do you mean?
The Frank Gore thing.
Oh, when you called me an idiot on national radio?
Did I call you an idiot?
Yeah.
That does sound like something I would say. But yeah. I probably said it
like,
playfully.
That's kind of what I want. Like, I get a lot of heat in the email and on Twitter about how I'm so mean to Adam and why am I so... I've never called you stupid like you do to me.
You've never called me. You've implied it, though.
I've never called you a piece of garbage like
That's
you did a few
true.
Weeks ago.
That's true.
I've never called you an idiot on national radio.
Give me the context of when I called you an idiot. I don't remember that.
When I said I wasn't sure if I liked Julian Edelman or Spencer Waremoe in PPR, and you said I was being an idiot because of how bad Spencer Ware has been.
Yeah, you were being an idiot.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I feel like I have several shots of getting back at you before I'm actually being mean to Adam like I get accused of.
Well, but the thing is...
I've never called you a name.
I make
once.
A case, and you throw out this, you're using an arbitrary endpoint thing, and I'm not. And also, I go on this whole defense of Frank Gore.
Are we still recording?
Yeah, yeah. And the point of the defense, the whole... crux of my argument was that Andrew Luck makes Frank Gore good. And I said, throw out the game that Andrew Luck didn't play. And you're like, no, I'm not going to throw out the game just because you want me to throw out the game. I'm like, that's my whole argument. You have to throw out the game.
But my whole argument was Frank Gore was done because he was continually getting worse. And that game was a part of my argument as well. So I was just saying I wasn't going to let you completely define the argument over Frank Gore.
No, but that was my whole argument. It was really an Andrew Luck argument.
I don't think this is good. I just want to make sure everybody knows I don't hate Adam, and I wasn't trying to be mean to Adam.
I mean, really, it sounds like neither one of you guys is mad, and you're actually laughing because it's funny to you.
That is exactly what's happening. Also, the only people I ever yell at are people that I like. Like, I wouldn't even waste my time if I didn't like Heath. Does that make sense?
Adam Azer's never yelled at me once.
Has he ever called you an idiot?
No.
What about a piece of garbage?
Nope.
Have you ever called anyone on the radio an idiot or a piece of garbage before, besides me?
I'm sure.
Is he more hurt by idiot? But
I'm sure I've called Nando names, because Nando just gets... And Nando's one of my best friends, so consider it a good thing.
Basically, I'm one of your best friends.
Yeah, okay. You are.
That's sad.
All right, Chris, you and I are still working on that. That's Heath and Chris. I'm Adam. Thanks, everybody. Back tomorrow with the Waiver Wire.